Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 362, recorded on February 2nd, 2019. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This show is sponsored by SimpliSafe, simplisafe.com/Tios, Upstart, check them out, upstart.com/Tios to find out how low your Upstart rate is, and ExpressVPN, get 3 months free by going to expressvpn.com/Tios. I'm Michael Johnson, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Smile Place.
You have muscle memory, don't you?
I really do, even though we don't do this often.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, and it's written right in front of me, and I was reading it. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to talk about Jeff Gamet and how he's here.
And maybe you thought the S doesn't say Smile was silent.
It doesn't say the Smile Place in my notes. It just says Smile, but how's it going?
It's going well. And how are you doing?
I'm good. Hold it together.
Awesome.
Yeah. got my Soylent and my coffee. I'm ready to do a show. So there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about, and you don't have a list, so you don't know that I'm going to jump around. But what did you think about this report from John Gruber on the latest episode of the talk show? He dished on what he believes is fact regarding Apple selling the Apple TV at cost, as well as the HomePod is a slight loss.
I can accept selling both at cost, but not HomePod at a slight loss. That doesn't seem like Apple's way. And I know this is a new Apple, and things that weren't the way before can be now.
Yeah, but the new Apple, I mean, most would agree that the new Apple is, it's not really new that they would be getting a lot of money, but people think that Apple's very greedy, and that nobody believes that it's at a loss, or even at cost for that matter.
Yeah, and okay, so here's the big thing for me that says HomePod is not being sold at a loss. Okay. You can buy a HomePod brand new from different outlets below Apple's list price.
Hmm.
There's no way that these companies are buying a product that Apple is selling at a loss and then turning around and selling it at even more of a loss.
Well,
I just can't buy that.
Well, number one, that depends on your definition of a loss, right? So for example, when the HomePod was released, it was suggested that it costs about $215 to make. And it is how much is it? 350?
Yeah. 350.
So, but that doesn't include, you know, R&D and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think that they kind of say that this is the amount of money that they need to make in order to make up for the cost, based on, you know, all the capital that was necessary to create the thing. So perhaps that's their definition. Now, the Apple TV, what's the processor in the Apple TV?
A10?
Yeah, it is an A10. It is an A10. HomePod is an A8, but it has all these crazy speakers in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's got, what, 6 speakers, a woofer, a bunch of microphones. I think, mm-hmm. I don't know that the microphones
A touch are. Sensor.
Yeah. So, and then how much do they sell the, how much are they selling the iPhone SE for right now, whenever that shows up? Like $350? $250?
$300?
So.
Something like that.
I don't know about the loss thing on the HomePod, but the Apple TV, because it's $180, or no, costs Apple to. $180. What is it? $150? I love how prepared I am for this discussion.
I think you're doing great.
Thank you. Yeah. So as far as it's like 150, right? No, it's 180. It is 180 for the 32 gig. I think that they are selling the Apple TV at cost. That makes sense to me. That is, I mean, given what's in there, there's an A10 chip. You've got storage of, you know, 32 gigs of storage and the Siri remote and everything else that is. That makes sense to me.
So the not 4K version, that's the one that they're making money on. So in essence, they are generating whatever profit they get on Apple TV from the not 4K version.
You think that's the case?
It wouldn't surprise me, because if the non 4K version has been around longer, so production costs should have gone down by now, and their development costs have probably been recouped.
Yeah.
So now it generates the profit for the Apple TV product line. I could see that.
Perhaps, yeah. So it's an A8 in the fourth gen, in the non... I mean, honestly, I could see that they're not making too much money off of that one either, but they're probably making something.
Yeah, they're probably making something. They have not lowered the price, correct?
It's $150.
Okay, so yeah, that's the one that's probably making a little bit of money.
All right, fair. But yeah, so I think that they're, I mean, as we'll talk about, well, let's just bounce around here. So Apple had their first quarter earnings call.
Mm-hmm.
And this, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first time they've broken out their services, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're...
That was surprising.
They're talking about how... So their services revenue is up by 19% year over year in Q1, which is a new high for them, right? So this mm-hmm. is highest quarterly revenue thanks to Apple Music. They have 360 million total paid subscribers. But there's, I mean, obviously their services category, as we've talked about multiple times on the show, is kind of, they're seeing that as the big growth sector, whereas the iPhone and all that stuff is, you know, kind of petering out growth-wise.
I think that services is only part of Apple's growth plan. And
you're thinking content is another arm of that? Is that what you're?
Yes, and I also think that health related services is going to be a part of that. So you know, so we're talking longer term.
Yeah, so it makes sense that they're selling Apple TV the way that they are, and it's sure. clear that it's very important to them to make the Apple TV a very good method for consuming content with the TV app, trying to make it as streamlined as possible, you know, getting the best of both worlds in terms of, you know, allowing the content providers to show the content in their own apps, but at the same time making it easy to find what you're looking for. And Apple is already doing things where they're injecting their own content into the Apple TV app. So for the people who are using the TV app, you just get more stuff. And that's a great way to mm-hmm. go about it. What else about the quarterly earnings? So, you know, Tim Cook did talk about, you know, the iPhone growth not being as expected. He was asked, you know, whether he thought that the pricing of the iPhone, the new line, the XR, the XS, and the XS Max was too high. He said that while he didn't feel that was much of a factor in the United States, he did think it was an issue in emerging markets.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe that it's still a thing in the United States as well.
It probably is, but I think the price is not the true driving force behind the plateau in sales. I think it's a market-wide thing. It's not just Apple. All the smartphone makers are facing the same problem. And
we've hit that.
Yeah. So that's the bigger thing. And Apple could lower prices on iPhones. Samsung could lower prices on Galaxy phones. Maybe they'll sell a few more. But I think that they can't really lower the price enough to goose the market and get this to break out of this plateau that we're in.
So you're just saying that iPhone, basically what you're saying, what I'm hearing is phones, smartphones are at this point, the level of technology that is in there and that we've come to expect costs a certain amount of money, a legitimate amount of money, mm-hmm. you know, close to real computer amounts of money, you know? And in order for companies to actually make any sort of profit off of these, they're just going to have to assume that that people aren't going to be buying a new one of these every year because they are expensive, and more importantly, because they don't require that yearly maintenance, right? Because they're so good at this point. We've gotten to a point where they're just good enough that it's not necessary.
Yes. And even to the point that people like me, who are always on that cutting edge with the technology, when I didn't upgrade my iPhone 10 to a 10S this year, my initial thought was, well, crap, I'm missing out. And then within a month of the phones being out and getting to play with them, I don't feel like I'm missing out at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that every once in a while there's going to be a killer feature here and there that'll really inspire people to get a new phone, or, you know, they'll get bored enough with their current phone that they'll break it. Yeah. But it's, I mean, honestly, I think the phones are settling into the same sort of buying cycle that people have come to know with laptops.
Yeah. I think phones will probably upgrade at a faster cycle than laptops moving forward. But we're in that same pattern where it's not an annual thing anymore. Yeah. And it doesn't need to be.
I mean, it was kind of crazy that it was at all. The real reason that it was an annual thing at all, because the technology was just evolving that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And every year there was something significant. Even if there was something significant that to you wasn't the killer thing that you needed to get a new phone for, there was still something significant happening each year. And now it's more in an iterative phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the question then is, why can companies like, is it One or OnePlus? They sell their phones, you know, the full price of one of these OnePlus, the 6T or whatever. I just happened to get a chance to play with one. Is $600.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, the stuff that Apple is selling, it's almost $400 more.
Well, I haven't seen a breakdown of the OnePlus phones. My assumption is that they're using components that are already lower cost.
Okay, so you think that you're saying the iPhones that are more expensive are probably more advanced.
More advanced, or at least more custom parts.
Yeah, I mean, you could say custom parts, right? But, you know, number one, that like the OnePlus has the phone, the fingerprint reader in the display, which is kind of what everybody's looking to get. But, you know, I'm looking at, so the iPhone 8 is $600. OnePlus is $580.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. I mean, maybe it's not so much of a difference there.
Yeah. And now the 6T, is that using an OLED display?
Boy, I couldn't tell you.
Because that could play into the price difference. Oh, no. It's AMOLED.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that makes sense if there's a fingerprint reader under there.
Yeah, it does.
So, I don't know. And they have a much smaller chin. Or, yeah, I guess it's the notch, not the chin.
Yeah.
But, It's not a huge difference.
Yeah, that smaller notch, it's because it doesn't have all those sensors, like
right.
Up there, like the iPhone does.
Right, it doesn't have the Face ID. It does have a facial recognition feature.
Yeah, but it doesn't work at all the way it does in the iPhone.
Right. Okay. All right, let's move on. So Apple Pay is rolling out at Target and Taco Bell and Jack in the Box in the coming weeks and months. It's going to be available in Target in the coming weeks with no red card support. Taco Bell, Jack in the Box in the next few weeks, or next few months rather. I'm excited about this. I went to Target recently and they do not have it yet at my local Target.
They don't have it at mine yet either. I am also very excited about this. No Apple Pay at Target has been so stupid.
I know.
And
it really has
the salt in the wound for me was, I would always go through the self-checkout line.
Right.
And my credit card got skimmed.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Using chip?
Yep.
So I thought chip was supposed to solve all that.
Yeah, well, maybe in Europe, but not here. So, yeah. And luckily, my bank is really good at catching that stuff. So I didn't get burned, except that I had to wait for my new card to show up. But yay for Apple Pay, because my bank just automatically put the new card onto Apple Pay for me. So for like a week, the only places I would go and buy anything were places where I could use Apple Pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's stupid that they haven't been accepting it. And there's no way any retailer can convince me that not supporting Apple Pay is in their customers' best interest. This is all about their own goals, not wanting to spend money to update a card reader, things like that. But it's certainly not because they care about their customers. So I'm glad Target finally caved, because I think that's really what happened. They just caved. And yay, I'll be able to start using Apple Pay at Target just as I should be able to do.
Heck yeah. Let's see. So we have... There was an iPhone or iOS 12.2 beta is now out in the wild. It's available for public beta testers, private beta testers, and you know it's a point update, but there's some cool new features in there. Have you played with it yet, Jeff?
Only a little bit. It's interesting. On my iPad Pro, it's just fine. On my iPad Mini, it has killed the battery.
Oh.
But
you're on an iPad Mini. How old is that thing?
It'll run on a fourth-gen iPad Mini.
Okay.
And iOS 12 runs nicely on it. But the 12.2 beta, man, it kills that thing's battery. I have to recharge it every 2 days.
I'm assuming you're not using it very often either.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, because every 2 days is like, that's typical for an iPad, for me at least. But I use it constantly.
Right. Yeah. And the iPad Mini, it's my consumption device. I'll check email sometimes. I'll look at Twitter. I read books on it. And you know, a little bit of web surfing. I'm not doing anything that would tax the battery to the point where it needs to be charged every 2 days, especially when previously I would go at least a week between charges on that iPad.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, this is a beta. So
Right. That's fair.
Yeah.
So there are some new, some nice little features in there. There is now support for HomeKit TVs. So for those who are getting, have any of those come out yet?
I don't think so. Okay. Doesn't Samsung come out with the HomeKit enabled TVs first and then everyone else gets to come out with them like later in the year?
I thought that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'm not sure if any of the TVs are out yet. It might be spring when they're coming out.
Okay.
Which tells me that with this beta rolling out now, we're probably actually getting close to when those TVs will come out.
Right, yeah. Let's see. There's a redesigned TV remote within the lock screen. So it's a new look. It doesn't look like there's a... They got rid of the fast forward and rewind buttons, is that right? Did you notice?
I didn't notice, but that's because I always do the swipe instead of hit the buttons.
Oh.
Because you know how you have the big touch area.
Right.
And I just swipe my fingers on that and do fast forward and reverse that way.
Well, because usually I don't do fast forward or reverse. I usually do the 10-second skip forward and back.
And usually for me, it's what did they just say? Or accidentally hit a button on the Harmony remote as I'm moving around the couch and then it jumps me forward or back. And now I'm trying to get back to where I was.
Mm-hmm.
I apparently have, dexterity issues when it comes to watching television.
That's fair. We all have our challenges.
We do. This is the cross I bear.
Yeah. There's a new screen mirroring icon, which is cool. So I think it's better. It kind of looks like the screen sharing icon. I think actually it is the same one.
I think it's the same icon.
There's a new AirPlay icon, slightly tweaked. It looks like there's a new button for pulling up the controls within AirPlay.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. I haven't looked at that part yet.
Yeah, and there's just a couple little random tweaks. You can get air quality reports and maps and various other things. Were there any other features within that you found interesting?
Aside from my imminent battery death, no.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that is a killer feature, so.
Totally. So far, it seems like a solid update that adds in some nice little things that they probably just had wanted to include earlier with iOS 12, but had to put them on the back burner while they fixed other things.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. All right, let's talk about some cool stuff that we found in the... I can't talk. What happened? Am I having a stroke?
It could be.
Let's just go with that. Yeah, some cool stuff that we found in the beta. But first, we have to talk about our sponsors. And so we'll be right back after that. Our first sponsor is ExpressVPN. With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where your data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your information. Take back your internet privacy with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. Protecting yourself with ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month. ExpressVPN is rated number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. And if you don't want to hand over your online history to your internet provider or data resellers, ExpressVPN is the answer. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/TIOS. That's ExpressVPN.com/TIOSS for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit expressvpn.com/TIOS to learn more. Our second sponsor is Upstart. Applying for a loan is a lot like applying for a job that you don't get to interview for. Instead, loan companies make their decisions based off your credit score and history without getting to know their whole you. But now, thanks to Upstart.com, it never has to be that way again. Upstart is revolutionizing the way you borrow money by rewarding you for your job experience and education in the form of a smarter interest rate. Unlike traditional credit underwriting, which would be biased against people with a short credit history, Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in less than 2 minutes without affecting your credit score. The best part, once your loan is approved, the funds will be transferred to you the very next business day. Over 100,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, fund their wedding, or to make a large purchase. Free yourself from the burden of high interest rate credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. Hurry to upstart.com/TIOSS to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes 2 minutes and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/TIOS. We thank them both for their support of the iOS show. Our third and final sponsor this week is SimpliSafe. No one should feel unsafe at home, period. Fear has no place in a place like home, and that's been SimpliSafe's mission from day one. And hey, you'll even get to see a commercial about it during the big game this Sunday. Be sure to check that out. SimpliSafe blankets your home with protection. Around-the-clock professional monitoring makes sure police are on the way when you need them. The security sensors are tiny, blending in with your home so you won't notice them. The Verge calls SimpliSafe the best home security, and it's a wire cutter top pick. As more than 3 million SimpliSafe customers already know, it feels good to fear less. They sent me one, and I've been very impressed with its integration with iOS. I even set it up with HomeBridge so I can control it from my Apple Watch. So protect your home today. You'll get free shipping on any system order. Just visit simplisafe.com/TIOS. That's simplisafe.com/TIOSS to protect your home and family today. SimpliSafe.com/TIOS. We thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. All right. So with that, first, okay. So we talked about the beta. Looks like there's AirPods 2 support with Ola Siri. Already mm-hmm. in iOS 12.2. So as far as the next gen AirPods, we've been kind of talking about them on and off. DigiTimes came out with a report recently saying that Apple will release the next generation AirPods in the first half of 2019, which is kind of what we've been expecting. But they added that there will be some health monitoring features.
Yeah. Now see, that's what makes the new AirPods, the reported AirPods, worth an update to me.
Right.
Adding in the Hey S Lady support, maybe I'm misunderstanding how the technology works, but that sounds to me like something that should just be a software update for the current AirPods.
I think it has to be a hardware thing, just because if it's not, it's a battery drain because it has to be an active interpretation of the command.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I think it's more of a passive thing with the current AirPods where you have to double tap and then it is just routing the microphone to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this way the AirPods actually have hardware dedicated to looking for that trigger.
Okay. Then that's different.
You also get the wireless charging case,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not clear on what the health monitoring features will be.
My guess is that it will be doing body temperature. And
oh, I was going to say checking for those little those mind control bugs from the Wrath of Khan.
Oh my God, that would be really valuable. I'd buy two sets just for that.
I mean, yeah, you need those. You really want to make sure that you don't have that going on.
Yeah. Can you do some sort of heart rate monitoring?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I don't think that would be helpful. I don't think you're going to get any added benefit there that you would with your watch. But then again, I'm assuming that everybody who has these also has a watch.
Oh, yeah. I was assuming the same thing till just now. So, yeah, maybe it'll have some sort of heart rate monitor for people who don't have an Apple Watch. Body temperature, that seems like the obvious thing to me.
Yeah, I think the body temperature is probably the only one that would really make any sense. Which is like, okay, cool. I don't know what kind of data that really... I don't know what relevance that gives me.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But hey, I'll take some new features. I'm ready for some new features in my AirPods. I've had these things. These are fairly old, right? Like they're coming up on 2.5 years.
Yeah, so you're hitting the point where your batteries are going to start wearing out.
Yeah. Well, I told you my left AirPod microphone doesn't work.
Oh, that's a problem.
Although, you know, I don't understand this, and maybe someone can help me. So there's are you aware of this feature? It's like it's an accessibility feature where you can click in your control center. It's a little ear icon. And you mm-hmm. can, it's a live listen thing. It's called live listen. And so you can then it's like making a little hearing aid, like an ad hoc hearing aid for you. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I've been having issue talking to Siri with the left AirPod and really talking to anybody with the left AirPod. Let's see if I can hear anything out of it. And I turn it on and I can hear no problem through that thing.
So it's just the microphone.
Although maybe I misjudged what the test is doing. Maybe it was the microphone from my phone.
Oh, that could be.
Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. I'll have to play around a little bit more with it. Anyway, so there's code in iOS for that.
I did a Google search on in-ear body sensors. And I just found an article from November 2017. Imperial scientists, so it's a company. These scientists have developed a sensor that fits in the ear with the aim of monitoring the heart, brain, and lung functions for health and fitness.
Lung functions, huh?
Yeah. And this stuff can go in your ear. So,
I love that sentence. This stuff can go in your ear.
So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, that's kind of interesting. We're sitting here speculating on what someone could put into an AirPod to monitor health related things. And here I find this patent that lays it out like a laundry list. It says, the researchers suggest hearables, so in-ear sensor things, may in the future go on to identify and manage heart conditions such as heart attack or arrhythmia, and also serve to observe the health state of the body. So in November 2017, there are already sensors that had been patented that can do all kinds of different body health monitoring, and they're projecting what they could be used for once it becomes widespread.
Okay.
So anyhow, now I'm wondering, this company, Imperial Innovations, I'm wondering if there's any way to link them to Apple now.
It would be interesting to see if there is a link there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're waiting. First half, right? 2019. So
that's what the rumors are saying.
Could be as early as next month, right?
Yeah, that seems a little early to me. And not because I have any inside information. It just seems a little early to me.
Mm.
It feels more like a spring announcement.
Okay. Yeah, maybe with the new phones. Let's see. So we've got AirPods and references to new iPads. And a seventh generation mm-hmm. iPod Touch, of all things. In 12.2 from our friend Stephen Trodden Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He's found a couple of references to what he believes is a next generation iPad Mini. And there's you know, iPad 11.1.2.3.4 for some various models there, as well as an iPod 9.1, which is kind of unexpected.
Yeah.
Because I thought Apple forgot about the iPod Touch.
Well, it sure seemed like that wasn't a product they were interested in continuing, just like the iPad Mini.
Right.
So to see references to both, I found that to be very fascinating.
It's still a cool gadget. I just don't know if anybody's buying it, you know?
Yeah. I'm obviously people are buying them because you can still buy them.
Yeah.
That sounds so stupid the way I said it. Apple would not be making them if there weren't enough people interested in buying them. There we go.
I guess who's buying them? Children? Is it for children?
I'm sure some of it's for children. I'm betting there are some people who want to be in the iOS ecosystem, but don't otherwise want a smartphone. And so they can have this. I can see special use cases where they're used as remotes for different things. Like maybe you have a drone that uses an iOS interface. And so instead of having your iPhone doing that, you get an iPod Touch.
Yeah, yeah, I feel you on that. Yeah, some interesting use cases. I think there are many that we can't even conceive of.
Yeah.
And it has a headphone jack. Did you know this has a headphone jack?
That's right. The iPod Touch has a headphone jack.
Yeah.
How quaint.
I know.
I bet the iPod Touch is still popular in various service industries where you need to have an iOS-based interface for tracking inventory, credit cards, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you don't want to buy iPhones for that.
Yeah, there are always those events that you go to where, you know, someone's trying to get your information with some kind of iOS device.
Mm-hmm.
And
great for that.
Museums, of course. Everybody's making guided tours in museums with iPods and that sort of thing. I think there are a zillion little use cases, and apparently there's enough demand that it makes sense for Apple to keep making this thing.
Yeah, and apparently there's enough demand that it's time to refresh it.
I guess, yeah. I mean, maybe it's one of those things where it makes sense for them to continue making it, but the refresh cycle only needs to be a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really hoping that they are going to refresh the iPad Mini, even though I've already gone through all the stages of grief. I love the iPad Mini. I think it's a great form factor. And I would love to have a newer model.
Yeah, I think the iPad Mini kind of occupies a similar space. Although I'd say it's more relevant than an iPod Touch.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you.
Although, do you think it's going to have a headphone jack?
No.
There's no camera bump on the iPad Mini. Can you believe it? Remember the days?
I hadn't even thought about that. You're right. There's no camera bump.
Do you remember the days of no camera bump on devices?
Oh, good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss that. That's one of the great things about the SE. You know, no camera bump. There's just nice angles. Although this, remember the leaked iPad mini case that we talked about? The actual back case of one?
Yeah, the one that I thought might have been a prototype for a model that they chose to never release.
Yeah.
But now maybe it's coming out.
It does have a headphone jack. Or a hole, anyway. Headphone jack's shaped hole. But then again, there's a plastic case that may not... Oh, no, it does. Okay.
That'd be cool. Well,
maybe crossing fingers for no camera bump, too. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't have a headphone jack, I'm okay with that. Because, once again, I've already gone through all the stages of grief. And I use my AirPods all the time. But no camera bump on that would be really nice.
Yeah. Do you think, this is kind of tangential, do you think that people are less inclined to lose a pair of AirPods than they are EarPods? Because I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was like, oh, I got to go out and get a new pair of EarPods. And I'm like, wait, why are you getting EarPods and not the AirPods? And she's like, well, you know, I just need new headphones because I lost my old pair, and I don't want to get AirPods because I'm totally going to lose those because, you know, obviously they're tiny and, you know, they're just going to fall out of your ears and vaporize.
Okay. I know only one person who has lost an AirPod.
Yeah. I know nobody.
But the person that lost the AirPod, of course they went out and bought a replacement, lost that, found the original, and it's just them.
Okay.
Yeah. And now they have since found the other AirPods. So they have like two left AirPods.
Well, that's nice. Maybe they can send me theirs.
Yeah. Well, considering they have a track record of losing them, I'm thinking they should just hold on to it.
Yeah.
But, for EarPods, it's like everyone I know that used EarPods or still does, they would run through those things like candy. They'd lose them. They'd break them. It was I know someone that it was about once every 3 months they were having to buy new EarPods because they'd either been lost or broken. Not so with AirPods.
I wonder why that is. You're saying it's a lose. You think it's more losing or more breaking?
Man, that's hard to say. Maybe more losing, but
there's definitely a factor of like wires.
There's definitely a break factor with wire. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's the fact that the AirPods have that dental floss case.
I think it's all about the dental floss case, man, honestly. Because it's so compact, it doesn't get all tangly, you know. It obviously has other benefits, but it keeps it real nice, and you know, you're not like, I very rarely put my AirPods anywhere but in the case.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that is a function of like, they are small and I will lose them if I don't do that. But the convenience, the added benefit of getting them charged by putting them in the case, you know, it just kind of trains me to only do that.
You also don't have to disconnect stuff when you're getting in your car or out of your car. And I see that a lot where people that, they have the wires coming into their ears, going into their pocket, and they're getting into the car.
God, I hate that.
And so they pull the phone out and then they take the headphones off because they're going to do the seatbelt and all that. I see EarPods in parking lots a lot.
Oh.
And well, actually I see other in-ear EarPod products in parking lots as well. But yeah, I definitely see a lot of Apple EarPods in parking lots.
I just, when you were talking about the wires and doing that like wire dance,
mm-hmm.
it legitimately like triggered me remembering what that was like to deal with. And to be fair, I've been dealing with wireless headphones for years now, even like before AirPods, but it's just weird to me to think that like people just haven't gotten, some people haven't switched to wireless headphones yet.
Right. And they don't know the joy of not having to do this stupid wire dance.
Yeah. I am the bourgeoisie. All right. According to Bloomberg, a new 10-inch iPad with a lightning port and Touch ID is coming out as early as this spring. They believe it will have, of course, Apple Pencil and smart keyboard support, but it will, I would imagine it's not the new stuff. It's the old style.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
An updated version of the $329 iPad.
That would be the only reason to keep a lightning port on a new iPad. And that would be to charge the first gen Apple Pencil.
That old whack ass pencil.
Yeah. I'm holding one in my hand right now. Not because I need to use it, but because it's sitting on the desk.
Yeah.
Old school.
It's good times. Do we want to talk about the FaceTime bug? I totally buried that. the big story of the entire week.
You know, the big problem that I'm seeing with this is that I think people are freaking out too much
people
about it.
People are definitely freaking out way too much about it.
I'm seeing headlines saying Apple is working on the fix for the worst iPhone and iPad bug ever. No, the worst one ever was the one where you did the software update for your iPhone and the phone stopped working and it became an iPod Touch. That's way worse than a fringe case scenario where you call someone on Face ID, loop yourself back into the call so you can listen, and think that they're going to just leave their iPhone or iPad sitting there ringing and ringing and ringing and not answer so you can spy on them.
Right.
You're going to answer or you're going to decline.
And doesn't it die out after like 30 seconds?
I don't remember how long it takes, but yeah, it will eventually just fail the call.
Yeah, because you didn't pick it up.
So if you want to listen to someone long-term, you have to keep calling and calling and calling, and then you get blocked and problem solved.
Right.
Yeah. But the fix for it, Apple said, was coming out at the end of the week. Didn't happen, and they said, yeah, sorry, it's actually next week. If they had gotten that update out by the end of the week, I would have been shocked. This is just an easy fix.
They can't QA that in a couple days.
No, they can't.
It's been highly sensationalized. It's something that I can't imagine I've ever, I don't know that I know anybody who really does the multi, the multi FaceTime thing, and let alone the group way
chat thing.
To be clear, Apple disabled group FaceTime for all operating systems until the new one. So the next one will re-enable group FaceTime.
Yeah. So when this update comes out, in the next few days, at that point, they're going to re-enable group FaceTime. Is that right?
For that operating system only. Older versions will not ever, Older versions will not have the access to it.
So the only way going forward to be able to do group FaceTime is if you update your device to whatever version of iOS and macOS fixes this this eavesdropping issue.
Correct.
Okay. You know, on Android, they call that a feature. Seriously, if you have an Echo, I guess it's not Android, it's on Alexa. If you have an Echo, there's a feature called drop-in where you just initiate a call and the receiving end picks up through their Echo and it's just going. And you so you don't have to actively start, or you don't have to actively accept a call. Someone could just turn it on. Now, of course, you can disable the feature, which I did on my Echoes.
I do not trust those damn Echoes at all.
I trust them a lot better than a Google Home.
Well, I don't trust either of those things. Wait, why do you trust the Home more, or the Echo more?
Because Amazon has a vested interest in keeping me as a customer, whereas Google has a vested interest in selling me as a product to their customer.
Okay, that's fair. But have you seen the episode of South Park about Amazon?
No, and you're not the first person to ask me that. So I guess I just need to fire up popcorn or something and go watch it.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, obviously it's BS because it's South Park, but, you know, they depict...
but it's still fun.
They depict Bezos, you know, like the Oracle kind of invading people's living rooms and listening to what they're saying.
Well, that checks out.
You know, yeah, totally. Anyway, yeah, they you know, they're working on it. I thought it was funny the way that the mother of the child who found this kept referring to him in emails and Twitter blasts to Fox News and whatnot. Like, my teenage son. And I'm like, why is it relevant that he's a teenager? I don't get it. Like, to me, it sounds like she's very proud that he's so smart, even though he's a teenager, that he found this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand the relevance of saying it that way and for any other reason, you know?
Like my child is smarter than your child?
Yeah, a teenager.
I have new stories to prove it.
He's a teenager, and he figured this out, and Apple couldn't. I really do feel like that's how she was viewing it. Maybe that's just because of my own overbearing mother. Let's see.
Should we start a therapy session?
No, that's not that episode.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, iOS 13. Let's wrap it up. We got a couple other quick things. iOS 13, according to Bloomberg, they believe that it'll have some a lot of iPad specific upgrades, including a new home screen, the option to tab through multiple pages of a single app.
Nice.
Which is very good. Like on the Mac, improvements to file management, please. Can we get a preview app finally in iOS? Like,
that would be nice.
Holy crap. It is stupid that if I send someone a PDF, it's like, do you want to open it in Dropbox? No, I want to look at it. Stupid.
Yeah, that is kind of stupid. Don't you have PDF Pen on your iPad?
No. Not, I mean, even if I did, I'm a crazy person for having it. Most people don't.
Well, okay, we need to fix that. You need to have PDF Pen.
Oh, I am talking to the small person. You want to give me free licenses for all my friends?
No.
Okay.
I've met your friends or some of them, so no.
Yeah, that's fair. And a dark mode.
I'm totally up on the dark mode. You know what I want to see? And this is probably kind of esoteric for a lot of people. Okay, that's stupid. If it's esoteric for a lot of people, that's the definition of it being esoteric. Yeah. Anyhow, proper third-party keyboard support for external keyboards on an iPad.
You mean just like plug it in and it works?
No, like when you create a third-party keyboard app.
Oh.
And you want to use an external keyboard with that, as opposed to using the on-screen virtual keyboard thing. I want that to work.
What do you mean? If you have an external keyboard plugged in.
Okay, so you, All right. So here's what became the driving force for me. And yes, full disclosure, text expander evangelist here. I want to use the text expander keyboard with my external keyboard on my iPad.
Yeah, this is definitely esoteric, but I get it.
Yeah, but Text Expander isn't the only third-party keyboard app out there. There's a bunch of others that do cool things, and it would be nice if there was some way to actually use those, except, you know, outside of the on-screen keyboard.
You know, Jeff, if they fix that before they improve the file management situation on iPads, I'm going to be mad at you.
I understand. But I really want the improved file management too.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do a bunch of stuff now that I couldn't before, but man, it's if this is supposed to be an alternative to my laptop or desktop computer, then I do need more robust file management.
Yeah, yeah.
How about support for external devices? Mm-hmm. That would be really nice.
Yeah. Okay, last thing, and then we're going to do picks. iFixit. Okay. Remember how Apple battery replacements are now $50? Is it 50 or 60?
I thought it was 60.
Apple now charges $50 to replace battery on iPhone 6 okay. through 8, and then... $69 for the 10 or newer.
Okay, that must be what I was thinking of.
Yeah, so you can still replace your iPhone battery for $30 if you go to iFixit. iFixit is because they dropped their price in response to Apple dropping their price back last year, but iFixit is leaving it at $30 until the end of 2019. So you get your whole kit, your whole DIY kit from iFixit, including, you know, the seals and the adhesives and the tool and the little suction cup and the spudger and all that stuff.
That's really cool.
For $30.
That's really cool. Oh, check this out. I just went to the iFixit website, and right at the top, there's a banner about right to repair.
Yep.
It says, this year, Colorado could be the first state in the nation to pass the Right to Repair Act.
That it says the same thing about California in my...
Oh. All right. Well, now it's just stupid.
Sorry. I mean, cool, Jeff. You're special in Colorado.
No, it's just stupid.
It's not stupid. Right to repair is important.
Right to repair is important. Presenting it to me like this, where I'm like, oh my God, really? Colorado? And turns out they're just doing a thing where it checks the state you're in. All right, I'm going to turn on my VPN later.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I'll turn on ExpressVPN and see what it says.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So with that, let's do some picks. Do you have one, Jeff?
I do. I hope... This isn't one that I picked just recently, because it's totally possible. Anyhow, Luna Display did an update for their app that makes it work even better. So Luna Display, it's that little dongle that plugs into your Mac.
You did talk about this.
Lets you use your iPad as an extra display.
Yep.
And because it identifies itself as a monitor plugged into your computer, it lets you use the high powered video card as opposed to the Intel chipset. Uh-huh. So you get better graphics. And they did a software update recently that lets you have more fluid graphic, better or reduced latency. And I found it to be much more stable overall. So much so that my Luna Display went from being this cool thing that I use so that my iPad can be a touch-sensitive display for my iMac to this, holy crap, OMG, I can't believe I get to use my iPad as a display with my Mac. So cool. It was their version 3 update for the software that does it.
Nice.
A Luna display, the actual hardware, I think, is $79.
It is.
And it comes in USB-C and mini display port versions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah. Nice. So my pick is much cheaper than that. In fact, it's free, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Wachete or Wachete? This website, Wachete?
No.
It's hard to figure out how to spell it. It's Wachete. It's like it's some kind of martial art for watching web pages or something. And
okay.
So the idea is if you have a web page that you want to monitor for changes, you type the URL into the service and you say, please watch this. And it'll show a representation of the page, and it will ask you what section you would like to watch. And so the initial inspiration for this was Monoprice. I think I might have talked about this USB-C dongle. I'm not sure. But there's, you know, for Amazon, there's Camel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they only do Amazon. So I wanted this for Monoprice because I've seen this at a lower price. And so I type it in. It says, you know, click the spot you want to watch. I click on the price, and it actually very easily extracted, like, okay, this is a numeric price value. And it actually it doesn't just show you like, oh yeah, when things have changed on the web page in general, it actually has pulled just that value from the web page. And it, for situations like that, it will actually plot the value over time. And I can tell it that I want to be notified, you know, when the value increases or decreases. I told it when it decreases. And so it'll let me know when it goes down in price.
And that's really cool.
Yeah. And it's free. It checks every day. And, you have to pay more if you want, you know, more frequent checking. And then I also have it set up for some job pages, you know, job listings from various companies. And so it shows me what's changed, whether stuff has been deleted or added, and it's all free, but you can pay to get more frequent updates. And depending on the page and the content you're looking at, it can go pretty fine grained, like I said, with the price of the dongle.
That's cool. And for free, you can do 5 pages.
Oh, is it limited to 5?
Yeah, I'm doing the slider right now. 5 pages. And you get up to 6 months of data history as well.
Oh, nice.
So that's cool. For $4.90, I'm assuming that's a month, 50 pages, checks every hour, and it'll monitor a dynamic page too if you want.
Interesting. I wonder what a dynamic page looks like. I feel like I've been kind of having to deal with a dynamic page right now, but I kind of got around it. But yeah, so I just dumped a Best Buy page in there, and so I click on the price, and it says, you know, area you selected has this content. It shows me the price. What would you like to extract? Number, HTML, non-US, and then check every 24 hours. And then notify when it's changed, going up, going down, equal to, not equal to, greater than, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of really cool stuff in this. It's super handy. It's one of those things that, like, every time I feel like I want to monitor a web page, I'm like, what kind of Python thing do I need to set up on my computer? You know, and it turns into one of those projects and I never do it.
and Wachete already did it for you.
Yeah. So check them out. Super handy. Yeah. And with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes, tell a friend, leave some stars, send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. I figured out my Twitter notifications so you can tweet me and I'll actually see that again. I was dumb about that. I guess I turned them off at some point. So
whoops-a-daisy.
I was like, they ruined it. What did Twitter do now? And then I realized I just turned the setting off, I guess. So that's cool. I'm turning into an old man. I think that's a sign of the old man apocalypse in my life.
Oh man, I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Of course, we've got our sponsors, SimpliSafe at simplisafe.com/Tyos, Upstart. Check them out, upstart.com/Tyos, and ExpressVPN. You get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Tyos. All of our advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at Smile Software at smile.com, right?
You got it backwards. I'm at Smile, yeah, which is right. smilesoftware.com.
There you go.
But you had all the right words, so go you.
Yeah, all the right words. It's important. And at Jay Gamet on Twitter, he knows how to get his notifications. Thank you, Jeff.
I do. Hey, I've got your back.
Yeah. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do?